Tom Aspinall just posted a photo a few minutes ago of him looking at you from the crowd, kind of in the background there. I'm just curious what you think. There's no caption or anything. What do you think he's trying to say by posting this?
Well, I said I want to fight a heavyweight. I'm not going to give names right here. I told them that I want to fight a heavyweight, so whatever they choose. I spoke about fighting Brazil, yeah, but it's not up to me. It's up to the organization, whatever they want to do.
A couple of weeks ago, I said, wouldn't it be fun if Pereira goes to heavyweight and goes for three titles to fight Aspinall? And I remember a lot of you guys were like, you're an idiot. I remember saying that.
And I remember like being like, that sounds stupid. But now, especially now that you have that fucking awesome photo of Tom Aspinall staring him down as he's going in the cage, you have that great sort of iconic moment. But at the same time, I'd like to see how Pereira gets on with Magomed Ankalaev.
Well, I feel like it's unlikely for the Ankalaev fight to come if it comes at 301 just because he said he wants to fight at 301.
That's mental.
So it's like, who's going to take that fight?
When is 301? May 2nd?
Like 4 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, like 3 weeks.
Mental, yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a turnaround at all, really.
Did he get hit at all in that fight?
No. Barely.
Well, he got hit once, pretty flush with like a right hook, but that was it.
I watched the fight back and like Jamal is doing everything Jamal does. He's keeping distance. He's landing kicks. He's looking fairly good, but you know the whole time Alex is just waiting and processing and then he just times it perfectly.
The thing, with that finish, that shows you how confident Alex was in his finish to be like, nope, stand back. I'm about to knock him out. And it's like, he said he didn't want that because he just found his range and he would have to reset that process all over again. But yeah, as a champion performance, a championship performance, should I say, a light work really for Pereira. So, I mean, I would love to see him turn around for 301. If we have people like that, that's when you go from being a UFC star to like a real star. It's like you're willing to go the extra mile. It's like we love when people step up to challenges.
The thing for me, though, it's like I can't help but ask, have we just not seen anybody test Pereira? Because the one thing is, we haven't seen him fight like a real grappler.
Don't forget, Pereira's black belt now after knocking out.
That's the most random way to get a black belt.
When did he get his brown belt? Like, when did any of this happen?
I think he just went from white to black after that happened.
Maybe.
I think that's the question that Tom Aspinall, if they do book that fight, would potentially answer. It's like a real high-level grappler. And on top of that, he's a bigger dude. The last person that tried to take Pereira down was Jan Blachowicz, whose only other time of taking somebody down was Izzy. You know, like that's it. We just have not seen anybody with any kind of wrestling credentials, grappling credentials, try to take it to him. We've only seen him fight strikers.
I think as well as the fact is that we've seen strikers do quite well on the ground with Pereira. Obviously, Izzy famously controlled him that whole round.
Yeah.
And then also, Jan did the same thing, controlled him the whole round on his back. But surely, the best thing for Pereira is to, if he wants to turn around quick, is to move up to heavyweight rather than take on another light heavyweight challenge. Because you get to keep your belt.
Right.
You have the potential, if he fights Aspinall, you have the potential of becoming a champion.
Yeah,
but
do you win the interim
works.
Belt from him?
Yeah, you wouldn't,
how weird
you
is
wouldn't
that?
Win the proper belt.
So, defending the interim belt, that's such a weird concept.
Yeah, you want the best opponent you can because obviously it makes you look better and you want the challenge of doing that against, if I can go up and beat the best guy. But I feel like you don't want to turn around on a month's notice to fight a real heavy grappler in Ankalaev, do you? So, I mean, if you go up and you get squashed by Tom Aspinall because he is a heavy grappler, then you can kind of give him more leeway. But you don't want to lose that belt in your division, do you?
Well, it's an interesting question because this is, if we're assuming he is going to fight a 301, then it's like, well, I don't think Tom Aspinall is going to fight him on a month's notice. I don't think Ankalaev is going to fight him on a month's notice.
Tom fought for the interim belt on about three weeks' notice.
Yeah. Maybe he'll do it just because he wants fights. That's what Tom always talks about. He just wants to fight the best
guy. Well, you're always talking about he needs to build a name off someone.
Yeah, I mean, this is an opportunity to do it, but on a month's notice is kind of crazy. And you've got to wonder, does Alex want heavyweight on a month's notice so he doesn't have to so he doesn't have to weight cut again?
True.
Right? He says he wants to fight in Rio and he wants to fight heavyweight.
Okay, all right.
Well, here's a question. What was scarier for Tom Aspinall? Sergey Pavlovich, 6 first round finishes, and this dude was just knocking everybody out, coming at him wild, you know, like crazy, crazy fight. And he did actually land on Aspinall in that fight. Which one do you think Tom Aspinall wants to fight more? If you were to pick, what type of striker would he, like, is this really that different?
Yeah, if you are Tom, you make the obvious choice. And he said this because, you know, he's a good guy. He says, I don't want to go squashing little guys. It makes me look bad. You know, I don't want to pick fights with people who have a disadvantage. But if he said if Pereira wants it, I'll of course fight him. And it's the obvious fight because the guy is smaller than you. He's never fought at heavyweight, I don't think. And he has a limited ground game. So it's like it only makes sense.
Pereira walks around heavier than Stipe. You know, but like he rehydrated heavier than Stipe for
what
DC.
Was he at?
Was it like 42 or 36?
No, 32.
32. For the Izzy fight, he rehydrated to more than what Stipe weighed in for against DC.
His last fight at DC, yeah. This is also a question that has also been raised, is that does Pereira have to fight Tom Aspinall? Pereira could just fight any heavyweight because that kind of card is needing of a star, isn't it? Because we've got Usyk versus Pantoja. And then we've got a returning Jose Aldo.
As it stands, do you reckon that is probably the poorest selling pay-per-view?
Yeah. This year?
Literally of all time.
Of all time?
As it currently stands.
I don't know.
There's not a load of stakes everyone cares.
Well, remember they
about.
Chopped that card up to make up like $302.99, didn't they? Yeah, so.
But it's like, it's not a pay-per-view level.
It's not a pay-per-view.
What random heavyweights don't have fights right now that Pereira could fight in Brazil on a month's notice? Maybe Sergey Pavlovich. I don't know who he's fighting.
Oh man, that would be fun. That would be really
just
fun.
Just any striker that's available.
Honestly, if you're thinking of
Tai Tuivasa, get him in there.
Yeah, that's a good option.
Take away that shit Derek
Lewis
main event.
Imagine if he gets knocked out by Tai Tuivasa. They're like, brilliant in the hype train.
Dude, yeah, no, take Derek Lewis out of that terrible main event. No one wants to watch.
Yeah,
and then put Derek Lewis.
I was going to say Lewis, but he's already booked, man.
I think if you're a heavyweight, you'd be mad to decline this fight.
Yeah.
Like if you could be an unranked heavyweight and like you would take that fight.
How about from the perspective of Tom Aspinall? You know, barring you've been on a yacht in the Wigan Lake.
I think he went to Wales, didn't he? I think
he's got a holiday home in Wales.
Unless you're literally just not training for the past, you know, couple months and you decided I'm going to spend some time with family and enjoy some free time, which I highly doubt of him. I imagine he's in shape all year round. That's the only thing I can think of. If he was willing to do it against Sergey Pavlovich, is that fight really that much different? Light heavyweight and heavyweight. The only question would be grapplers. So, I mean, it literally right now for me, it's only Ankalaev. I think Yuri is going to go exactly the same way. And then it would be Blades, Aspinall, and then Jones and Stipe. They all have wrestling. So, I mean, the only question right now is wrestling.
Well, that was going to lead me on to the next question. If it wasn't going to be Tom Aspinall and he was going to turn around for 301 and Ankalaev was ready to go, is that like a really risky thing for the UFC to go UFC to do, where they go, okay, we're turning around Pereira, technically our biggest new star that we have, and we're going to put him against the guy who has probably the most threat against him on a month's notice?
I don't think Ankalaev takes that fight.
No, he doesn't. He was offered to fight him anyway, but he turned it down because of Ramadan. He didn't want to train through Ramadan, I'm guessing. And also, I think that Pereira does have, from what we've seen, he has the stand-up to beat Ankalaev. There's no way, because Jan had great success landing in the first couple of rounds, got a bit tired, and then got wrestle-fucked for three.
But, I mean, he got the shit beat out of him. Though.
Yeah,
he was getting, like, there were closer to stoppage moments in those last rounds.
Yeah, but we've seen Jan struggle on the ground quite a lot. Even with Glover, he just kind of folded.
Corey Anderson the first time, yeah.
Yeah, and so Pereira, I think, still has a really good chance. It's not like just because you can wrestle really well means you're going to just steamroll him, because we've seen he never gives up and he's always there to knock you out.
Well, Ankalaev, it strikes me as if he's already turned down the fight previously and he's already been really close to winning a title, but it was a draw. He's not going to waste that opportunity again, surely. He wants to be as prepared as he possibly can, because it might be his last shot ever at winning that title.
I can see them even pushing it back to Jiří versus Ankalaev for the number one contender. Because, Jiří may have a have a similar performance against Pereira again, but I think the UFC would honestly...
I bet Jiří would be crazy enough to take that rematch on 3 weeks' notice. I bet you he would be crazy enough. I think everybody would pick him to lose, but people would be like, well, we know it's going to be a fun fight.
We are in a place with light heavyweight that it has like so much charisma now. Like people would like Jiří with Pereira. You don't want to risk your star for someone who literally has zero charisma in Ankalaev. Ankalaev has been around for so long and hasn't done any of that. And my man's had like 8 fights in the UFC in 2 years and is like double champ and he's like doing the whole thing now. So it's like, yeah, we desperately don't want to lose that. When you're a fan of something, I will say, like, I like to see the train going. Like, how far can it go? How crazy can we get? Can he move up to heavyweight and beat a fucking heavyweight?
For me, I just want to see the best fighter. Like, and I know that's not what everybody's perspective is. I think most people probably are more in your camp. But it's just like, at the end of the day, isn't that what the ultimate fighting championship is? Are we going to start, like, hiding stars from contenders? Is that what we're going to start doing?
Yeah. I empathize with that a lot in the sense there is that element of, like, oh, of course you want to see the best fight best. But at the same time, selfishly, you want to see what can create the most amount of buzz and really generate some sort of like level of entertainment that elevates just above fighting, but it brings that X factor along with it.
So I like seeing good style matchups.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said, you know, if you're going to do a month's notice and you're probably not going to get the guy who's supposed to be in there, just give me Khalil Roundtree for a great striking matchup. You know, I'm just like, that's fine. I would never say Khalil deserves a title shot, but it's like a month's notice.
What crazy shit. And to be fair, with the Anderson Silva Stephen Bonner scenario, that was last minute, yes. But that fight is absurd. For on paper, absolutely absurd. And we all knew what was going to happen. But there was that tiny bit where it's just like, what if the runner-up of the first Ultimate Fighting Championship reality show could beat the best middleweight of all time?
Bonner had to,
I actually think a lot of people were pulling for Forrest.
Oh, they were pulling for him, but I didn't think they thought he would win.
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit behind the hype train now, Pereira. You know, I think if you put him in there with another stand-up guy, he's probably just going to murk them. Yeah. You did that whole breakdown, all that minutes of research you put into a breakdown. And he trod on his foot and uppercutted him. And it was like, none of it mattered. It meant nothing.
What are you going to do? Just never break a fight down?
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like,
you got to stop.
Just like, sober. Jamal, stop. We both believe Jamal had a pretty good chance of beating him.
Honestly, a lot of people won't say this because they'll be like, you destroyed him. And he did make it easy. But for the first 2.5 minutes, Jamal was doing everything game plan wise that you thought was fine. You know, but it's just Alex was obviously just waiting to set up and finish it.
We didn't know that Alex was actually steps ahead because he was getting him where.
Yeah, he was just timing everything and waiting for it. So.
Well, a lot of big time coaches were picking him to win as well. Mm. Like obviously Matt Serra, Dean Thomas, Anthony Smith. Guys that are known as great minds in the sport. They were picking him. So, I mean, you just never know what you're going to see until it actually happens. But, yeah, I mean, I do think at this point, though, there is a preponderance of evidence. If you're a striker and that's pretty much all you do, you know, Jiří, he'll take you down maybe. But for the most part, he'll go to war with you like he just did with Rakic and sacrifice a bit of himself. And he gets hurt in every fight. He got hurt in that fight, too. I don't know how wobbled he got. He didn't get dropped. But he definitely got stung, you know. That's the thing. If he fights Pereira again, you can't make those mistakes with Pereira. You just can't. And at this point, it's like, dear God, get him in there with somebody that's going to try to take him down, because that's what they're actually a strength, not just an opportunist. They're actually good at it, you know?
Or he could just fight strikers. I'll watch that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, ultimately, to like cap it all off, if he was to go in at short notice at 3-1, does it actually matter who he fights?
No.
I don't know if it does. If he's going to save it at last minute against fucking Roundtree. Getting him in there against anyone and just delivering the same kind of knockout he did against Hill is only really good for the UFC. It's only really good for him.
The truth is, we'd be happy with just about anybody. Yeah.
It does wonders for him as a fighter, even if he can just turn around in time. Because, like I said, no matter the opponent, it will be... There's no one that's doing that. All of our championship stars are being killed off. You know, Volk's been knocked out twice. Izzy's not champ anymore. Kamaru's obviously been and gone wild. Leon's not fighting an awful lot.
Yeah.
So we don't have that real active champion. I just like when the UFC just step out of their lane a little bit and actually like do what we want them to. But it's like
It's what, like, you want them to.
Can you imagine Dana White right in front of you saying that?
Yeah, he's like, Luke, what do you want?
The fuck are you?
No, but it's like with the coloured shorts. We're all like, oh, the coloured shorts are really cool, aren't they? We all like those. And then they started doing them and we're going bananas over fucking shorts.
Yeah.
It's like the most simple thing ever, but we love it. And so it's just like, take these chances because, like, you then get a Connor, you know? You get a fucking Nate Diaz. I want you, motherfucker. You know?
Do you think the UFC has been too safe recently
for 300 they were.
When's the last time Dana White says, I love this kid because he fights anyone, anytime, any
Dana,
place?
Like, when's the last time? The power slap. That's all he wants to do.
Is that not some of the fighters? I mean, they're the ones who decide if they're going to fight or if they aren't going to fight, aren't they?
Yeah, I wonder how often these kind of invitations are being handed out, though, to be like, I think who wants this?
Yeah, let there be fan moments. Yeah. Let there be excitement around what fans want. Give a bit of individuality.
Fucking pay the man to do it as well. Do you know what we haven't mentioned for a while? Is the fact that you can get this unedited podcast for only $2.99, which is pretty good.
That's not bad, is it actually? Yeah. Name a cheaper subscription service.
Oh, probably good.
Exactly. There aren't any because they all cost a lot of money these days.
Co-op membership card. That was one.
Why
pound.
Are you is paying
one
them?
Pound for co-op?
Dollar
one
Shave Club. Yeah.
Dollar Shave.
Is that still a dollar? If it's still a dollar, I'll be surprised.
Still is,
McDonald's doesn't even have the pound saver menu anymore.
No, that's
bollocks.
Yeah. That is shocking. But yeah, I mean, way
so get any of those things if you want them. But more importantly, our membership is only $2.99 for two episodes a week, where you can see us glaze Tom Aspinall for 45 minutes.
Yeah, we love
because we know you love
fucking balls on that guy.
Yeah, just fucking what a sexy man. I felt his back once. Huge.
Yeah, he was quite strong.
Yeah. I went, do you look like me? And he went, you fucking bet I do.
And then did you kiss?
Actually, what he said. No.